welcome to a new episode of the China FlexPet podcast. And today we're going to talk about international communication, which is quite an interesting topic. Many Chinese professionals want to be international and many FlexPets want to work with Chinese people. So there's a lot of overlay between these two. This is what we're going to discuss today with Kate, who's really experienced in this area. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Francis. Hi, everybody. I'm Kate. I'm a professional coach and a trainer. I'm working with individuals, teams, and corporate clients here in China. I've been here for the past 5 years, and I'm happy to share my experience and learnings with all of you today.
So, Kate, why did you first decide to go to China? And how did you get to where you are today?
When I was a younger lady, I really enjoyed learning about something very interesting. I never was interested in things that most of the people are interested in. And of course, China is one of those things, right? For me, China was always something fascinating and mysterious. The language, the food, all of these things are so different than European style. So it always impressed me. And I was always hoping I can come and visit. But eventually, now I'm living here and working here for so many years. I'm here with my family. And since I came to China, I really started being very interested in cross-cultural communication. I realized the importance of it. That eventually led me to a position of internal trainer in the company that hired me to come to China previously. When I look back at the start of the pandemic, I realized there will be many insecurities in many businesses, not only in China, but globally. So I decided to open my own business. And since then, until now, I am my own boss, taking on clients that are seeking for coaching and corporate training or individual training. Yeah, definitely a crisis can be a source of opportunities.
And how would you describe the challenge of young professionals, somebody like you, maybe 5-10 years ago? And what is special in China?
I think in China, as far as I can observe, we have rapid change. Everything is changing so fast. Even during the crisis period that we all had, there were plenty of changes. And I think this is a big challenge. I think young professionals actually study at fantastic universities, no matter here or abroad. They are exposed to so many cultural shifts through meeting classmates from different regions. They are observing and participating in rapid daily life, even through social media. You know, we can see so many things happening in many different regions. And sometimes that enforces the feeling of not being good enough. This feeling is further enforced in the belief that in China, we somehow have this maybe invisible but very real situation where we are not supposed to make a mistake. Everything should be done in a very specific way. There is a system for everything that starts from education and goes throughout the university and later in the career. There is a system for everything. So not making a mistake is very important. This is a big challenge for young professionals because they can see this is not the only way. If we compare the situation in China and in Europe we have more space for imperfect results. We have more chances to observe things and develop further. But in China, we are supposed to stay in the role. And if you introduce yourself to somebody local and you say, I'm interested in this, 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 and this, sometimes they are a little bit confused. How can one person be good at various different things or interested in so many things? So I think rapid change is a big challenge here for young professionals. They need to find a way to connect what they learned before from the whole system that they have here and how to adapt to such high, not only high expectations, but differences coming from other cultures. Yeah.
Now, many FlexPets, they work for European companies and then they try to find and build good teams in China. And then there is a culture clash of these two cultures, right? This European generalist, like you said, we can do everything pretty well. If it's not perfect, it's okay, but you have to try. And the Chinese perfect approach where you can only do one thing, but it has to be perfect. So how can European companies explain their value system to Chinese young professionals?
As far as my current experience tells me, the main difference, it is the culture. European companies can't just copy and paste everything they do in Europe and just put it in China. It doesn't work. They also need to feel the difference between the European style and the Chinese style. So that means we need to pay attention to the hierarchy, which is really important in China, right? In Europe, we are more flatlined a little bit. We don't have such a strict like hierarchy triangles, yeah? So the hierarchy is still very important here. And That means the lack of hierarchy can confuse Chinese staff. If they're working in the European company, they expect what they learned before, right? And then they step into the European environment and they might be confused, like, where do I go if I have an issue? Where do I go if something is unclear? They are used to having the, you know, straightforward either people or resources or department where to bring the question. So they can get confused. They don't want to make a mistake, but they might not know where to go. They don't know that in advance. So that's only one example of how important communication is. I believe if anybody wishes to explain anything new to others, there has to be a situation to try it out. Immerse the people in the new thing. Chinese young professionals should be given an opportunity to experience a different company culture and understand why and how these different values can be useful to them. So if we just tell them, we don't have such a strict hierarchy here, you can just relax and do whatever you want to do, it's not going to work. We need to be able to match those two mindsets and bridge this gap by working together and communicating more openly.
And how exactly can Chinese professionals learn this? How can they learn European values if they did not grow up using them?
I think there are some chances to learn this if the people can see why these values could bring some benefits to them. If we talk about the business environment, if they can find a reason why the new brought value is better than what they did before, they are more eager to accept it. But if we just give them the value and say, okay, this is the company style, this is the company culture, you just do it as it is, as we told you, that's it. That's not going to work. I recently had an experience. I went to Lijiang to do a training for general managers of a company, big international company, but the company is international, but the general managers in China are Chinese. And what I noticed in that is the employee are there to receive the training, the general managers, but none of the stakeholders are there too. So the communication gap still exists, you know, because the Chinese staff, they have a lot of experience in Chinese companies. Then they step into European style, same industry, but they don't have the clarity about how to address the values, how to emerge in the company culture. And that cannot happen unless both parties participate.
I think you are always highlighting one important part, which is independence and also a kind of an open mindset. So I consider myself independent. I think you're very independent. And this is a key value in Europe. So we try to push this. Now, what is the value of this? And how can we explain this to Chinese professionals?
I think the value is tremendous, you know. Maybe what you mentioned previously, we already grew up in an environment that encouraged this. So I think if anybody gives me a choice, do you want all the money in the world or to stay open-minded and independent with your decisions, I would choose the latter, you know. I don't need the money to replace this ability, right? But I think the value is definitely tremendous, and I've been lucky to meet a great bunch of open-minded people here, and even more lucky to see this crowd is getting bigger, you know, local people being able to find their own way to not only, I don't want to say learn open-mindedness, but experience it. And then once they realize this tremendous value, they become empowered by it. I work with a lot of young and junior level professionals across different industries. And while being open-minded is a big challenge for anyone, especially in the culture where there is such a strong sense of hierarchy, as we mentioned, what I observed from the amazing people I mentioned before, most of the time, they will not show their open-mindedness to everyone because they still feel the responsibility to follow the hierarchy. They definitely see the values of it, being able to make your own decisions, take the responsibility for your own future, feel true to yourself. But they also master the way to use it as a tool, and they keep it away from their surroundings in order to satisfy the hierarchy. We have to understand and respect the culture here. Pushing young people to adopt something without them wanting it is not a good way to progress. And I have an example. I met recently a young professional. He was working in China for maybe a decade. Now he decided to go to another country in Europe to get a master's degree. He didn't even share with his parents that he's actually studying there. He just told them it's like a long-term business trip, because if he gives the whole information, he might receive some backlash, right? So for him, a better solution is not to give the whole information while working on his own improvement. So I think definitely it's not easy to just reset somebody's culture as they grew up and just give them a new set of tools they need to use.
If people like this imaginated friend, if they are supposed to make decisions now by themselves without listening to their family, without listening to their friends, but without being influenced, so how can you learn this?
Yes, I think there are different ways to learn it. One of the straightforward ways is you can follow some decision-making models, right? And there are plenty of models people can either look for by themselves online, or they can hire somebody to help them, a mentor or a coach or a trainer. But some of the models that I selected to present to the audience today are, there are five. One of them, the first one is the rational model. There is the intuitive model. There is the recognition prime model, Vroom-Yetten decision-making model, and bounded rationality model. If they use one of those models for a while, they can become more self-dependent and confident to make the decisions by themselves. But there is another side of that. Once we grow up and start making our own decisions, yes, those are our decisions, but all the decisions are definitely influenced by all the previous learnings and people we spend time with, our role models, our teachers, parents, classmates, environment we are born in. Maybe the environment we are born in changed to another environment when we were growing up. So all these factors will actually be a part of us, right? So it's not like somebody is 100% totally independent. It's enough to be a certain number of independency. It doesn't have to be a full 100%. So this also can help us with some expectation. It's not necessary to reach a full 100. We can still be independent thinkers, even if it's not a full 100%, right?
Okay, Kate. So if young professionals learn to make decisions, they actually take this risk. So how can this fit into the company culture? How can companies apply flat hierarchies where everybody can make decisions and everybody can get this kind of independence and respect?
Yes, respect is a big part of everything we do, right? Well, I think it's already well known that flatter hierarchies, they boost autonomy, which means you are allowed to make your own decisions. And I think currently, no modern boss wants to have a lot of employees who cannot make any decisions and always run to him for questions, right? We always hope that can be sorted by people being safe enough, secure enough, feeling good enough to make the decisions without being scared of any bad consequences. So boosting autonomy for your employees is recognized as a key factor in employee satisfaction, and also is helping to attract and retain talented professionals. There is the trend about employees kind of blaming young professionals in China. They don't work hard enough. I'm sure you heard the laying flat expression, right? Just doing the basic thing to satisfy the job, very basic level and not anything above that. But actually, I see that as a sign of change. The question is how to bridge that gap. I think the answer is not only employees need different kinds of trainings. Like I mentioned in the previous story I shared, I believe the employers need the training too, so they can find middle ground and the effective way to communicate. Sometimes the age gap is also big between young professionals and the current bosses, and it's just very difficult to find that middle ground. There needs to be a person or a system that can help them match the values and everything else. If we don't do that, if we don't bridge the gap, young talents will keep changing the jobs in the quest of more autonomous position, because we are now theorizing they are already able to make their decisions, but they're kind of not encouraged to do that in the traditional companies, right? So if this happens, they will definitely job hop for a while, but employers will still believe their way is the only way. And then this is the lose-lose situation for both. You know, you don't want to job hop forever. You need to find somewhere stable for at least a few years. And also as a boss, you don't want to have your people coming and going and cost a lot of money. So I believe the solution is training for all of them, making sure that the communication is open and clear, so the employee is not afraid to talk to the boss, and the boss doesn't have to come from the above position. they can match somewhere more in the middle. It's not easy. It's a long process. But from my experience so far, I think it's the only way.
Kate, what we see a lot is that international companies, they have a compliance trust problem. So they don't trust their Chinese leaders because they're afraid that they will take hongbao, kickbacks from suppliers or from anyone else. So they will have their own business on the side. And now there's young professionals growing into these organizations and they suffer from this trust problem because the European companies don't trust them. But maybe there's no reason not to trust them. So how would you deal with this? And how would you give Chinese leaders, Chinese professionals more freedom and just raise integrity levels overall?
That's a very complicated scenario. I think the trust is definitely a big part of any communication. And what senior leaders used to do before is not supposed to be taken as a role for the young leaders. So we definitely need more communication to bridge this communication issue, to let the European companies earn more trust coming from the young leaders in China, because the situation is definitely changing and the likability of young leaders being in a position to accept kickbacks and wanting to accept kickbacks is much lesser than previously with maybe some senior leaders. In my personal opinion, if I am in the middle of a situation like that as a trainer, I cannot tell you what is the perfect solution because I would need to hear both sides. What are the concerns from the European company side and what are the possibilities from young professional side? How to make them realize they need to cooperate and how can they build the bridge of trust? It's not a one-time conversation, I believe. It takes time and it takes efforts from both sides.
Loyalty and integrity are very important values in Europe. And so this is something that often this kind of trust has been broken. And there is many, many stories which you can hear, which sound very bad, which happened in China. So this is why a lot of people are really interested in this. If we expect that this is going to change and we give the benefit of the doubt and we hope that this will change. So how can European companies, how can they offer sufficient career growth potential for their young professionals in China?
I think you already know that I believe that personal development maximizes professional development. That means the more opportunity for personal growth for the young professionals we mentioned, the better are going to be the results they will give us in the professional environment. I think that every person, every human being, no matter which nationality, which country they come from, they are searching for purpose and acknowledgement in life, right? And one of the ways to have that is to find a job that you are passionate about or you like doing, or you feel accepted at, you feel respected at. So if we provide this two things for anyone, the purpose and the acknowledgement, I believe they will take care of their own growth by themselves. They will use the opportunities we give them and the developmental situations we put them in to definitely advance not only themselves, but their career even further.
Kate, these were really great topics that we discussed. I think we started with stuff like values and then also decision-making and independence. And then we went into compliance, and trust, career growth potential. So these are all very important areas. So what's your own role in this? Where do you create value for your customers?
So far, my role is to give them the space to reflect, also to consider and to discover, to implement what they learned, to challenge themselves. As you know, Francis, learning is a long-term process. And when we say the word learning, we think, okay, look at the book and make notes, and that's the way how you learn. And then what? We still have to find the chances where to implement what we learned previously. I believe implementing the new findings is even longer process. And I'm there to support the people I work with during that whole journey. I discovered the easiest way to implement a new learning is through experience. You keep trying and find your own pace with a new habit or your new value or your new style. But some people struggle with trying, you know, especially certain cultures. Like we said, no mistake. If you make a mistake, you don't try anymore. So we need to break this barrier and say, okay, trying and even failing, but picking yourself up is the better way. if you want to learn it and keep using it, you need to experience it. So I'm there to be any kind of support they need, to be the sounding board for them, to give them space to reflect and to see what is their next step. I also try to help them treat themselves as their best friend. You know, if your best friend comes and says, "Hey, Francis, I feel miserable, something happened," you will not tell them anything bad. You would try to support them. But usually we are too strict on ourselves and we dig ourselves into a deeper hole. So I can help the people I work with find clarity and find stable new grounds so they don't go deeper.
Kate, I think this is a role that all flexpats can take. I work in a Chinese company. I only have one German colleague. All the others are Chinese. So I think we have a similar role to you. We provide clarity. We listen. We encourage. We're kind of in this whole change environment and give some kind of support. So what's your advice to flexpats like me? How can we work with Chinese professionals and support them?
In my experience, the first and the most meaningful step for me has been listening, like really listening what they need. Because in Chinese culture, that's not something they often get. As you know, the educational system is listen to your teacher and do what they tell you. Follow the certain steps. And there is no much space to give your own opinion, give your own angle. So I think people really appreciate that first step. Sometimes they just need somebody to listen to them, to observe everything they're not saying too, and then to help them make the sense out of it. I think that is the first very important step. And later steps are depending on what the situation is, what the client is actually looking for. Is it something personal? Is it something related to their job position? Do they want a career advancement? There are many different steps afterwards. But for me, listening is the very, very big part. This is how the trust is being built too. Because once they can notice you're listening, you're paying attention, you're giving them the space, they finally can open up and share everything that has been inside for a while.
Kate, you came a long way, right? You came a long way from your first education to being a professor, I think, right? And then into being a coach.
Yes.
That's amazing. So what are you thankful for looking back on your career?
Everything, good and bad, you know, like all the people in my journey, including you. You're also in my journey, definitely. And all the opportunities, you know, sometimes a lack of an opportunity at a certain moment led me to another good opportunity, you know, and the lack of the opportunity was stressing me out. But then eventually the next step was even better. So I'm thinking the things that look scary sometimes can open a new possibility a bit later. We just need to be patient, which is not easy. I'm also grateful for being brave to try. My country is so far away from China, and I came here by myself. I was alone for the first 4 months. It was not easy, but I'm definitely grateful for that moment where I decided, yeah, flying by myself is going to be worth it. Also, I'm grateful for any time if I have anything that disturbs my journey, I can still pick myself up and continue. I don't back down. I'm grateful for the endless support from my family. All the amazing people I met, and also for the awareness that I need to unlearn some behavior. You know, like you mentioned, I used to be a university teacher, and a teacher is a person who teaches you, right? But the coach is the person who listens to you. And I'm not supposed to teach my clients, tell them what to do. I'm supposed to observe and listen. That was so difficult for me. I thought I will not make it, but I made it.
You certainly like to talk, right?
Yes.
It's the same with me. It's very difficult to listen, but it's a great experience. I can totally underline that. So what's next for you in your career?
In my career, I think what is next is trying to impact as many people as possible. I want to bring my expertise to them and support their growth. I really enjoy when my clients have the aha moment, you know, when they realize something has been there for a long time and they didn't see it. And now suddenly they see it. I'm also hoping to come to a point in my career where I can work from anywhere, you know, like my network should be wider than it is now, and I need to meet more people. So eventually I can be in any location and I can still have my network there to support me. And also I can support them too. What I also need to work on more is I need to be more clear about what I do so people can understand, because being a professional coach is something very vague. People are not very familiar. So I'm grateful for the opportunity you're giving me, because I think the opportunity of people learning a little bit about coaching through this episode can help other coaches be more easily recognized.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And what I say always again and again is a lot of listeners to this podcast and also a lot of speakers, they are leaders in their company in some certain positions. And I think a coaching mindset can help all of us to change around and to say, no, we don't know all the answers, but we can ask the questions. We can kind of put the clarity into this uncertainty. And this is something I think you helped us today so much to understand. So Kate, who should listen to this episode? And what's your message?
This episode is for anyone who doubts themselves and they keep finding some reasons not to pursue what they actually want. There are many roadblocks in anyone's journey, but there is always a way through. I think my message I want to emphasize here is to never give up. Rather work on finding supportive people and people who can challenge you to take another step. You know, it's great to have great friends who will pat your shoulder all the time and say you're doing a great job, but you need somebody who can challenge you too to go to a further step, right? I think I want to encourage everybody to be patient and enjoy the journey. The results are waiting for us at the final stop. We just need to be patient.
That's so great. Thank you so much, Kate, for showing us how to be a coach, how to really encourage your employees, your customers, people who work with you to grow, to achieve personal growth. And to all FlexPad listening, I really hope that you take the opportunity to reach out to Kate, but also to reach out to all the other speakers on the podcast. And also, if you have the feeling that this podcast episode could be valuable to any of your friends, just take a screenshot, maybe get the link and send it to your friend with a few warm words. This is the best way you can support us in the China FlexPad community. Thank you so much, Kate. 谢谢, and 再见.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you so much.